She was the wife of Bhavananda.
Narayani?
Yeah, Narayani Mataji was there also, the wife of Purnapragya Prabhu. Sometimes Gurudas used to come also with Yamuna, his wife, from Vrindavan. They used to come sometimes. And then we have also had a visit of Gopal Prabhu. He was in Malaysia for some time, then he came to Calcutta. Like that, we used to have very good association. And of course, Jabhadagar Swami was there mostly in Mayapur, and he used to come to Calcutta. So we used to go to Mayapur also once a week, especially on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday. We used to go to Mayapur, and there we were engaged in the serving of prasadam and kirtan. That was the main program.
What was there in Mayapur at the time? Were there any buildings, anything?
No. The only building was Prabhupada's kutir that you can see when you enter on the left side. That was the only. And on the right side, there was also a small building.
Just cottage.
Yes. There was no other Pakka building, no. No. So it was very simple, but very blissful.
How did you go to
Mayapur? Mayapur, we used to go by train up to Krishnanagar from Sialdah station, and then taking a bus to Ghat.
To Navadvip.
Navadvip. Swarup Ganj, and then take a boat to Mayapur.
And then walk up.
Yeah.
Walk up from Hulagar.
Yeah. There were a few other ashrams, but not so many as now.
No, there was only Madhav Maharaj's mat was there, and Goswami Maharaj's mat. Between Hulagat and ISKCON, there were just two mats.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Only two mats at that time.
Yeah.
And then after that, there was Chaitanya mat.
Yes, Chaitanya mat, yes.
Long distance, Yogapith, yes, Chaitanya mat, Shiva Sangha. That was all, in the whole of Mayapur.
Yes.
There was ISKCON, which was undeveloped. Yeah. Goswami Maharaj's mat, Madhav Maharaj's mat, and then Jogpith, Shiva Sangam, and Chaitanya mat. That was it. Nothing else.
Yes.
It was all fields.
Yes, all fields.
Even when I went there, it was like this. It all Mayapur has developed because of Prabhupada's preaching. Otherwise, no one was even going there.
Right, correct, yes.
No one went there. Now it's very busy. Every day, so many buses are coming. At that time, no one went there. Once a year in Gaur Purnima,
a
few widows would go out there from Calcutta. That was it, finished. Mm. Prabhupada made Mayapur prominent.
Yes.
Yeah. Then eventually you traveled extensively in India, it seems.
So, from Calcutta, in November 1972, I went to Vrindavan because Srila Prabhupada had arrived in Vrindavan.
You'd seen Prabhupada up to this time?
No. From April 72, I was in Calcutta. Then in November 72, I had my first darshan of Srila Prabhupada. So this that was when Srila Prabhupada used to give lectures on the Nectar of Devotion, the preface of the Nectar of Devotion, just in front of Rupa Goswami Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir.
And that now, if you go, it's all nice. And
yeah.
That time it was all rubble and bricks.
Yeah, it was open. Of course, now they have made different arrangements.
It was all that Radha Damodar Tam was just like, it looked like someone had dropped a bomb or something.
Yeah, lot of monkeys, yeah. But the lectures were very blissful, and this is the first time when I met Srila Prabhupada. So it was very special. All the disciples were put up at the Kesighat in the palace of Maharaj of
Bharat.
Yes, Bharatpur Maharaj. There's a long story about that. Achyutananda Swami had made friendship with the Maharaj of Bharatpur. And so the Maharaja was very kind. He had given us his palace in Vrindavan in Keshighat. So we used to stay there. It was very simple accommodation there. There was no running water. There was a well only at the entrance, so we used to take early morning, take a bucket of water and like that for taking baths. And then, so that was November 72. So on that occasion, at that time the ISKCON in Ramanreti, the ISKCON land had already been acquired, and some construction already started. And so Srila Prabhupada used to take us from this Keshighat up to Madan Mohan, for the Parikrama Marg, Madan Mohan Temple, and then to this place in Ramanreti to see the ISKCON land. So like that, in the mornings, we used to walk with Srila Prabhupada and some other few disciples like Achyutananda Swami and Guru Das.
Same thing, there was nothing there. There was open, in between Vrindavan and Ramanreti, there were open fields.
Yes, Ramanreti was quite outside. When we acquired the land there, it was donated to us by Mr. Saraf. But it was just outside Vrindavan. Yes, there were very, very few buildings and ashrams. Yes.
There are open fields in between Vrindavan and Ramanreti. Now it's all concrete.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the time Prabhupada stayed there for about 10 days. And for Prabhupada used to stay in the Radharamana temple, where he had his room on the ground floor, and then first floor also on the roof. Prabhupada used to stay there. And so on the Purnima of Sarat, Purnima, then Prabhupada arranged for initiation ceremony. And this is at that time I took Diksha from Srila Prabhupada. And on the same time also Guru Kripa took sannyas. It was quite unusual for Guru Kripa. Yasodhananda, he was already a sannyasi, and they were together, always traveling together. They had come back from a tour of South India, these two American disciples, Guru Kripa and Yasodhananda Swami. So they came to Srila Prabhupada, and so Srila Prabhupada spoke to Guru Kripa. He said that your friend Yasodhananda is already a sannyasi. But you are not a sannyasi, how is it? Then Guru Kripa said, yes, Maharaj, you have not given me sannyas. You have given sannyas to Yasodhananda, but to me you have not given sannyas. So Prabhupada told him, okay, tomorrow I'll give you sannyas. So on the same day when others took Diksha, I think Lokanath was also at the same day, took Diksha.
No,
later. No, or maybe one day after.
He took with Sridhar Maharaj. He took sannyas.
No.
Lokanath, I
think. Lokanath, yes. Yeah, no, first Diksha.
Oh, first.
Yeah, first Diksha, so on the same time. And then same day also Guru Kripa took sannyas Diksha. So after that, then we went back to Calcutta.
Who else, can you remember, took initiation at that time?
No, we have the photos, but no, right now I don't remember. I got photos, yeah. Photos. Guru Kripa, this Guru Das, Guru Prabhu, Guru Das, yes. Mm. He used to take photos.
Right,
so we
right.
have a lot of photos from this yatra. Then November 72 also was the time of the first grand preaching in Hyderabad. It was a Pandal program organized by the Calcutta management, Bhavananda Prabhu. At that time he organized the program along with some others. So a committee was formed in Hyderabad, and the program was arranged at the exhibition ground in November 72 for about 1 week. So Prabhupada gave lectures morning and evening. It was a very successful program. And on this occasion...
How many people were coming?
At least 5,000 used to come, yes. Yeah, it was very well attended.
And they must have been all like educated people because Prabhupada was speaking in English.
Yes. I think there was no translation into Telugu or in... It was English language lectures. And it was very well attended. On that occasion, Mr. G. Pularedi also came forward to donate the land, which is now the site for the ISKCON Hyderabad in Abids. So that was a successful program. We got the land there. And so this committee was formed of very prominent personalities, many, especially from the Vaishya community. And Panalal Piti was the chairman. Panalal Piti was the richest Marwari in the city. Prabhupada used to stay in his house in Somajiguda. So the program was very well arranged and very successful.
Achyutananda's kirtans were another feature of that program. Yeah?
Achyutananda Swami, yes, used to give kirtan. He became very famous, Achyutananda Swami. We can talk a little bit about him. Throughout South India, Achyutananda Swami started preaching parties, programs everywhere.
Were you with him?
Yes. I used to travel with him, arranging programs everywhere in Andhra Pradesh and also Karnataka, Tamil Nadu. Just I remember because I was now just now in the temple of Lord Narasimha. So we used to come here sometimes also. So on one occasion, Achyutananda Swami and some others came to have darshan here. Then, at that time, there were very few people coming here for darshan. It was a very simple affair. No queue, nothing. But so we were in the small queue for darshan. And in front of us, there was one boy, young boy. So Achyutananda's family started to speak to him. So he asked him, "What for you have come here? This Yadgiri Gutta, what for you have come?" And the boy replied that I came earlier also here when I was studying. I came here and I took the blessings of Lord Narasimha so that I may be successful in my examination. So now, by the grace of the Lord, I got my degree. I was successful. So I've come now today also to thank Lord Narasimha. Then Achyutananda Swami asked him, "You have come here to thank him, but I think you may have some other idea in mind also." He said, yes. "Now I'm going to ask Lord Narasimha that I may get a job. But now I got degree, so now I need a job. So I will ask Lord Narasimha to give me a job." And so Achyutananda Swami asked him, "Okay, you get a job. How much do you expect?" So the boy replied, "I'm going to ask Narasimha Swami that I may get a job and a salary. I'm going to ask 500 rupees a month." So Achyutananda Swami then stopped him. He said, "What is this? Why are you asking 500 rupees? Lord Narasimha is the master of the entire creation. He has created all the worlds. He is the supreme Godhead. And he has everything at his command. If he wants, he can give you everything. Everything belongs to him. Why are you only asking 500 rupees per month?" So Then the boy became a little thoughtful. And so he thought for some time, few seconds. Then he said, "Oh, all right, 800 rupees. So we all laughed. And sometimes Achyutananda Swami used to quote or to mention this story or episode in his lectures just to show how people are so ignorant. They have no idea how to approach God. They come in front of God and they ask for some petty thing. So you go to the president of India, so much trouble to go there. It's so difficult. And when you finally come in front of him, you ask, "Please, can you give this, I came by rickshaw, please can you give 12 rupees for the rickshaw?" So that was interesting, always to be with Achyutananda Swami, because he always used to discuss philosophy. And he was
in a very combative style.
Yes. Always presenting arguments, logical arguments or arguments from Bhagavad Gita, in order to defeat the opposing elements, especially the Mayavada philosophy. So I learned a lot. I learned actually, as far as philosophy is concerned, I learned so much from him, from his association. And his lectures were so enlivening. Prabhupada told he's a genius because of his ability to speak. He used to keep the crowds spellbound for 45 minutes or 1 hour. People used to come by thousands to hear his lectures. See, in Hyderabad, for instance, we were having a temporary temple on the front side. The main temple, which is now constructed, was not in use. It was under construction. So on the front side, there was a small temple where about 100, maybe 100 people could sit. So Achyutananda Swami used to give lecture there. And we had put a loudspeaker outside. And people were standing in the street, Nampali Station Road, to hear his lecture and to hear his bhajan and kirtan. He used to play mridanga and sometimes also tampura. So it was very, very beautiful. He was a very good singer, very good musician, and great speaker. Just to give... I don't know if we have time or not, but
yeah,
I can mention a few things. In Bangalore, we had a program in the Kempegowda Road, that is the central part of Bangalore, Kempegowda Road. There is the Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So they had given us their building to have a program there for Achyutananda Swami. And in order to have a chief guest, because every time we are inviting a chief guest, so we thought that we shall invite the General Karyapa. General Karyapa was the most highly decorated officer in the Indian Army. He was the hero of the Indo-Pakistan War in 71. He was very famous, and also he was a religious personality. So he was in Merkara, Kurg. So we went to Merkara and we met him, and immediately he was very kind and he accepted to be our chief guest for the function. So he was a devotee of Satya Sai Baba. We knew it, but... Anyway, we invited him to speak, and so at the beginning of the program, he gave a speech in which he glorified Satya Sai Baba as God himself. So the speech went on, and then afterwards, Achyutananda Swami started his lecture. So in the middle of the lecture, Or rather, right, I mean, almost at the beginning, say about 5 minutes after he started the lecture, he started to speak about these bogus incarnations of God. Then he said, there are many such incarnations in India. And even in South India, there are also people who claim to be God. Actually, the topic came after Achyutananda Swami described how glorious is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. He quoted from Bhagavad Gita and from Brahma Samhita how Lord Krishna is the real God, full of opulences, six opulences, including wealth and then knowledge, power, renunciation, beauty. All of this belong to Krishna. So that was at the beginning of the lecture. Then he started to speak about, unfortunately, some people do not recognize, do not understand how Krishna is God, and they pretend to be God themselves. And then in South India, and even near Bangalore also, even near Bangalore, there is also somebody who claims to be God. And Sadhya Sai Baba was next to Bangalore, Whitefield is next to Bangalore. So people started to be a little more interested to hear about what Achyutananda Swami had to say about that. Near Bangalore, there is also a person who claims to be God. Then General Karyapa was little moving like this. Then he started to say, yes, yes, somebody claims to be God, but does he have all the qualities of Krishna? Krishna has all the qualities. Krishna is so beautiful. He attracts the entire creation. But this person who claims to be God, he is so ugly. He made a face like this. So ugly. Oh, that was the shock. The audience became shocked. They had never heard anything like that. Because Sadhya Sai Baba, now he is respected by everyone. And he was speaking like this about him. They are shocked. And then some one or two stood up, started to stand up and started to clap. And then 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 50, like this, more and more people, they started to clap, appreciating Achyutananda Swami.
Because no one had spoken out before.
No. Nobody used to dare. Of course, afterwards, Hansaduta Swami and then some others.
Even the public.
No. That was the first time. And General Karyapa, he left on the spot. He was on the first row. And when he heard this, just left. But it was not important. The important was that Achyutananda Swami exposed the fallacity of the cheating of those who pretend to be God. He was such a bold speaker. And when he was in Bengal earlier, West Bengal, he used to speak also against Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. And he had some trouble.
Yeah, I mean, they could kill you, literally. Yes. Really, they could.
Yes, yes.
They're so...
Yeah, the Bengali people, yes.
I know, I was in Bengal.
They cannot tolerate any such talk. So he had to leave Bengal. That's why he came to South India, where, in this way, he was with us for many years. There are many great moments we had with Achyutananda Swami.
Yeah, tell us some more.
So, another one. We used to travel and collect for the construction, because we had to collect money for the construction of the Hyderabad temple. And our programs were very successful in Guntur, especially. So in Guntur, the programs were arranged by many of the life members, especially tobacco merchants and members of the Rotary Club, Lions Club. And then there was the one person, Kersar Prasad Rao, was LIC development officer. He used to be very active in organizing the programs. So there was very good publicity, And minimum 5 or 10,000 people used to attend the programs at the LIC ground in Guntur, a very good place for public programs. And so the programs were usually for 3-4 days in the evening, the lectures. And so in order to collect funds, Achyutananda Swami had one tactic, is that the day before the last, he used to distribute, or we all the brahmacharis, we used to distribute envelopes, empty envelopes, for the public in the hands of everyone. And then on the last day, Achyutananda Swami used to announce that, on the day before last, he used to say, he used to announce that, please come again tomorrow, and please give your offering, your donation, keep it in envelope, so that we can build our temple in Hyderabad. So the people were generally very interested, very generous, and we got a lot of donations like this. And Achyutananda Swami used to say also that not only money, you can also give gold. He used to say that when I go to temples, I see the deities of the Lord with a plastic jewelry, fake jewelry. But here I see all the ladies, they have real gold jewelry. So why do you give fake to the Lord and you keep the real gold for yourself? That is not proper. So he was requesting, please, all the ladies, whatever gold you have, you can replace them by the deity jewelry, fake jewelry, and you give us your real jewelry, your own. We'll be very happy. So we used to get a lot of gold, and in this way we could build a temple in Hyderabad.
What about Prabhupada? You must have seen Prabhupada many times.
So, as first time was in Vrindavan. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture. I came a little late in the middle of the lecture. And, see, suppose this is where Prabhupada gives lecture. And then on his right side, that was the entrance. Because we used to enter from the small door by that side. So, I saw Srila Prabhupada in that manner, from his right side. So I looked at Srila Prabhupada. I had seen many photos, of course, when I was in Calcutta, all the books, I have seen many photos, and I heard a lot about Prabhupada. So much so that, of course, I was ready to take Diksha at that time. But when I saw Srila Prabhupada, it completely blew my mind that I could never imagine that his appearance would be so transcendental, so extraordinary appearance, especially his face. His face was glowing like a sun, and his face was very, with a very wide, big forehead. So really, I thought immediately, this person is not from this world. Now, I mention another thing which maybe will be of interest for you, is that we had contact in Tirupati with a very great astrologer. His name was Somarajulu. He was a retired Sanskrit professor, and he was at that time with the TTD department. I think that was in 76 or so. And he was very, very learned, and we made friendship with him. At that time there was one Prabhupada disciple called Uddharan. Patituddharan, yes. Patit Pavan or Patituddharan Prabhu. He was going from place to place and taking appreciation from learned scholars and Mataadhipatis, appreciation of Srila Prabhupada and of ISKCON Society. So Patitu Dharan came to me and told me, we want to see an astrologer. So I told him in Tirupati, there's a topmost astrologer is there. So we went to Tirupati. So Patitu Dharan gave him the exact time of appearance of Srila Prabhupada, but did not mention that this is my Guru Maharaj. He said somebody is taking birth at that time, at that particular place. He gave all the details, and we would like to have his future, or what is his destiny. Please prepare the chart for that person. So Somajulu told us, okay, you come day after tomorrow, I'll tell you. So day after tomorrow again, we came to meet Somajulu. And then he said, I'm very sorry, I cannot do that. I don't know who is that person. I don't know. But this person is not from this world. So there's no question of making the chart. Mm-hmm. That's the exact answer. He was completely stunned. He had never seen, he could not do anything. He told us, this person is, I cannot do. So then we told him, yeah, he is our spiritual master. Later on, he became very helpful to our society in Tirupati, and he used to give lectures also. For instance, Bhaktiswaraj Damodar Swami used to invite him regularly and used to give very learned lectures on Vaishnava Siddhanta. Mr. Somer, of course, he's no more now. He was brought up, he used to speak Sanskrit from the very beginning. He was trained up to speak, that was his mother tongue. So, I don't know.
You must have seen Prabhupada quite a few times.
Okay. So, I was with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and then after that, also in Hyderabad for the Pandal program in Hyderabad. Then again, Prabhupada came to Calcutta. We all went back to Calcutta. And so Srila Prabhupada was also there. I remember that I went to arrange a program for Srila Prabhupada in some of the colleges. At that time, the students were very much influenced by the communist idea and the Naxalites. So anyway, we went to speak to some of the students in one of the colleges. And even though they were reluctant at the beginning, but we convinced them that it will be very good for the students. So they decided, they fixed, okay, we'll have a program. So we invited...
Where was this? Which college?
No, I forgot. Yeah.
North India, South
India?
In
72. Huh? I forgot the name of the college.
Whereabouts? I forgot.
So Srila Prabhupada came on that day and started his lecture. There were about maybe 100 students there. And so then slowly these students, they started to talk among themselves, and they were started to make some noise and disturbance in the audience. And they became a little too much noisy and disturbing. And we were just by the side of Srila Prabhupada. Then we were considering the situation that maybe now it is not very favorable. And maybe we should stop the program here. So we told Srila Prabhupada that there is too much disturbance now. So maybe we can stop here. So Prabhupada agreed. And he stopped his lecture abruptly. Then we started to move out of the room, and we were going outside. The students started to become violent, and they started to push the brahmacharis. My spectacle, they threw away somewhere. I had to run And then we all ran to safety to our car. We also protected Srila Prabhupada because they were also ready to harm Srila Prabhupada. So that was a bad experience we had there in Calcutta.
Oh, in Calcutta.
So, in another program was very, very well received, but that was like more or less like a private program we had at the Indo-American Society. The subject matter was East and West. So the American consulate was present. He was a very good friend of our society. And there was a very good gathering of intelligentsia and diplomatic people. That was very well received. Srila Prabhupada talked on the subject matter. I remember his lecture to some extent. That at the beginning he said that what is the difference between East and West? The earth is round. So here you call India East and Europe, America is West. But this is all relative. It has no meaning. What is East and what is West? From another viewpoint, you can consider India to be West and America will be East. So he started like this. So East and West don't mean anything. But yes, there is also difference. Then Prabhupada started to talk philosophy. He said, when you come to India, you can go to any small village and you can talk to any of these villagers and you ask that, who are you? And what are you doing here? And what is your future? So the villagers, they will answer that my destiny, that is my karma. Whatever I've done in the past, now I'm here, I'm doing work, and that everything is result of my karma. But you go to the West, you go to Europe, America, you ask the same question, and people will tell that now I'm doing this, tomorrow I'll do that, and I have so many big plans for the future. So they consider that they are responsible, or they are the authors. They are the doers of their own activities. They can control their destiny. This is what Prabhupada mentioned. This is the difference, he said. In the West, you think you can do whatever you like. You can control your own destiny. But here in India, we know very well that our destiny is at the hands of God. Simply, we have to follow our dharma. So that was the important point of that lecture.
Did you speak at all with Prabhupada sometimes?
Not. I was hearing. I was with Srila Prabhupada, but not talking much. I was mostly hearing his conversations and taking darshan. One thing, of course, I was chastised. That I remember very well. I was chastised by Srila Prabhupada. For instance, Prabhupada used to, after the temple was constructed, Prabhupada came at the time of inauguration, and he came again in December 76. Inauguration was in August 76. So it happened that Prabhupada used to stay on the first floor in his room in the temple, and after 1 o'clock the temple is closed and the deities, the curtain and the doors were closed. Deities are taking rest, and I was inside the temple hall and I was chanting japa, and Prabhupada was in his room on the first floor. So Prabhupada came on the balcony. There's a small balcony. So I was surprised. Well, Prabhupada is coming. I was surprised. Then, actually, I was chanting japa, not loudly, but softly chanting japa. But Prabhupada could hear my japa from his room, even though the door was closed. So, immediately he told me, silence. Deities are taking rest. Don't make any noise. He told me very in a very hush-hush manner. But, so that was a chastisement I received. Of course, I was chastised also in April 74, at the time of when he gave me a second initiation, Brahmin initiation. At that time, Sri Prabhupada used to stay at the house of Panalal Piti in Somajiguda on the Raj Bhavan Road. And at that time, Rupanuga was GBC accompanying Sri Prabhupada. So there was initiation, and that was my turn to take Brahmin Diksha. I had taken first Diksha in November 72. So April 73, so I took Brahmin Diksha at that time. So Prabhupada was in his, in a big room, living room, very big, with a table. He was sitting there at the table, and I placed the Brahmin thread on the table. And so Prabhupada, what happened? He gave me the mantra for this Brahmin initiation, and then when he was giving me the mantra, then at that time, this Brahmin thread disappeared. I had placed on the table, and it completely vanished. I was looking everywhere. I could not see it. I was thinking maybe it's some, I don't know, somebody came, or some, because of wind, maybe the wind took it away. I could not see it. Then Prabhupada asked him, "Where is your Brahmin thread?" I said, "Prabhupada, I put it here, and now it is not there anymore." "You are fool number one." So it was very good chastisement. I was thinking, now I'm very intelligent. Prabhupada told me, "You are fool number one. No intelligence. So go and bring another one." So I went to Rupanuga, and I brought another one. Like that, he gave me Diksha. Otherwise, no, he was telling me, "Yeah, you have no intelligence. How can he give you Brahmin Diksha? It is not possible." "Prabhupada, please." "Yes, I'm a fool number one. Yes. But finally, give me Diksha."
But what happened to the thread?
No, we could never find it anymore. I don't know what happened.
When Prabhupada gave me Brahmanical initiation, he put the thread first. Yeah. And then he gave the mantra after.
Yeah. Maybe it happened like that. But at some time, no, I was, maybe not attentive. I kept it there. Maybe I was absent for a few seconds. Then I came back. And when I came back, I didn't pay attention. And the Brahmin thread was not there anymore. Yeah, I think it happened like that. So that was another time when I was chastised. Otherwise, Prabhupada was always very kind. But of course, in Hyderabad, Prabhupada chastised the temple president very, very severely.
That
I don't know if I should mention
it. Who was that?
Mahamsa? Mahamsa, yes. Very, very severely.
Yeah, you can mention it. Hari Shari, his policy is... Yeah. To say almost everything. Yeah.
So that was at the time of temple inauguration, August 76. Prabhupada came. Of course, the function was very grand, very well organized, with the chief minister, many other very important people.
Just one thing, is the translation going on? Are you doing translation? I don't see you speaking. Are you translating? Why? They all went for a marriage. Okay. Hindi translation is going? Yeah, okay.
So, in the course of Prabhupada's stay in Hyderabad, Prabhupada visited the entire building, deity room, kitchen, then he went on the top also, on the rooftop. When Prabhupada came on the rooftop, he observed the adjoining lands, and he told Mahamsa Swami, actually Mahamsa had already, was already a sannyasi, Mahamsa Swami. He told him that you should try to acquire adjacent lands to give more space to the temple. Then, coming downstairs, that is the administration on the underground basement, Srila Prabhupada asked from Mahamsa Swami that, do you have any staff in the temple? Mahamsa Swami said, yes, we have a typist, one accountant. Yeah, that's all. And so Prabhupada asked him, so how much is your salary bill? How much the temple has to spend to as a salary for these two persons? And Mahamsa Swami told him, 1,200 rupees. 1,200 rupees is too much. Too much. Immediately, that was Prabhupada's reaction. Too much. Then, Prabhupada, when he came to the kitchen, he saw the kitchen. Kitchen was quite clean, and pots, cooking pots were there, quite clean. We didn't find anything irregular, abnormal in the kitchen. So Prabhupada took one of the pots, cooking pots. It was shining. Nice, very nice. Then he did like this, upside down. Oh, black. The bottom, no, the outside of the bottom was black. It had not been, well, it must be very difficult to clean properly a cooking pot to remove all the dark. But Prabhupada saw it is dark. So, oh, this is so dirty. So dirty. And then he told Mahamsa Swami. Mahamsa Swami is from a Parsi family. He was the only Parsi in Iskand from a very good family. You may know the Selvel family. Selvel publicity, Selvel advertisement. He's from that family.
All over India.
All over India. Very famous, very good family. So Prabhupada told him, I know these Parsis. I've been in Pune. I've been in some of these Parsi houses in Pune. I've been inside the house. And they are so dirty. Ah, they are so dirty. Even in Bengal, you can go to a house of a Bangi. Those who are cleaning the latrines, no, bathroom latrines. Those Bangis. Their house is so clean. And they take baths 3-4 times a day. And the house is so clean. They put cow dung and they clean everything so nicely. But the Parsi house is so dirty. And you are still a Parsi. He just took sannyas, no, 3 years before. You are still a Parsi. One of the chastisements. That was one of them. Another one, Prabhupada came to the farm in December 1976. Where the farm, Nyunami Sharanya, had been donated. And Srila Prabhupada came there to see the farm. So there we had a press conference. It was very good press conference. About 12 reporters came from different newspapers. And the next day, in the one of the newspapers, there was a big title on the front page that Swamiji is turning wasteland into gold, because Prabhupada had told that this land, apparently you see this very dry land, and nothing is growing here. There's no cultivation. I can tell you, this land, every inch of land is more than gold. So the reporters had written that, and they make big title, the newspaper, next day. So, Prabhupada was staying there at the farm, and opposite to his residential quarters, there's a banyan tree with a small Hanuman temple, and we had put the Vyasasana of Srila Prabhupada. So in the morning, there was Guru Puja, Prabhupada Puja. But in the day before, in the evening, we also had taken prasadam at the same place, around the tree, banyan tree. So when Prabhupada came in the next day in the morning for Guru Puja, first of all, he saw that the place was dirty. It had not been cleansed. It was as it is. Some pieces of sabji, dal. And so Prabhupada told, how can we have puja now? It is very dirty. So immediately, Mamsa Swami arranged for some brushes to clean the place, brush and water. And then Prabhupada saw the same person, Padidudharan, to bring one knife. Padidudharan Prabhu was thinking that, let me remove these pieces of dal with a knife.
It's so, his pen knife.
Pen knife, maybe.
He told me.
Acha, he told you, huh? Yeah. So, when Prabhupada saw that, he told him, you better keep that knife to cut your throat.
In other words, it's such a stupid idea to try to clean scraping up the dried up dal with a penknife. You have to get brushes and water.
Yes. At the same Guru Puja, when everything was ready, Prabhupada then asked Mamsa Swami, so is all the devotees are there? Everybody has come? Then Mamsa Swami said, yes, Prabhupada, everybody is here, except for one. I forgot his name. He was from Scotland. Maybe you know him. So, except for this disciple, Prabhupada, then Prabhupada asked, what is wrong with him? So Mamsa said, no, he is sick. He is sick. Then Prabhupada told, even if he is sick, he should come. So Prabhupada was very upset if somebody were not coming. In another instance, in Hyderabad temple, Prabhupada asked also the same question to Mamsa Swami. Everybody has come for the function, Guru Puja? Then Mamsa Swami said, yes, Prabhupada, all the devotees have come. Then immediately Prabhupada said, devotee? Who is a devotee here? I'm not a devotee. Prabhupada said, I'm not a devotee. I'm trying to become devotee. And you are calling everybody devotee.
One time Achyutananda didn't get a Mangal Aarti and Prabhupada came in his room. You told me that? In Hyderabad?
I don't know.
You told me that and Achyutananda said, I don't have any clean cloth. I think you told me that.
I don't know. What was that story?
And Prabhupada took his cloth and rinsed it and threw it at him and said, put it on the wet cloth.
No,
you didn't
tell
me
that?
No,
I don't remember that. No.
What about the crossword puzzles in the Hare Krishna Express?
Yes. We used to, from 1975 about, we used to publish fortnightly from Hyderabad temple. That was called the Hare Krishna Explosion.
It's like a newspaper, small newspaper.
Yeah, a tabloid form. And format tabloid, no, that is small size newspaper. Every 2 weeks. So in that newspaper, we used to have very good articles about our preaching activities. as well as some philosophy, little bit. And so, one of these issues at that time was one of the issues were devoted to how the Hare Krishna movement interacted with the Mohammedans, starting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chand Kasi, and Haridas Thakur, and so on. So a lot of the articles were related to the interaction between Islam and Hare Krishna movement or Vaishnav movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For instance, there is that story, maybe I forgot some of the names, at the time of Lord Chaitanya, there was one rich businessman from Bengal, and he had one servant, a Muslim servant. So this Muslim servant committed Subhadiroy. Was the like a zamindar used to have this Muslim servant. So this Muslim servant committed some mistake, and he got a beating from his master. And after some time, the wife of the Muslim servant, she saw that, and she asked him, what is this scar? What is this mark on your back?"
Later,
he left. He left the service.
Yeah. Later, the servant he became the ruler of Bengal. Nawab Hussain Shah.
So the wife came to know about it, and then at that time, this Muslim gentleman had become a very important personality, and the wife told, "Now you have to take revenge, and you can kill that person. Why did he beat you like this? You arrest him and you can kill him." But he said, "No, why should I kill him? Instead of that, I will make him a Muslim." So Subhadirai came, and that Muslim king, he spread some water from his water pot, put some water. Immediately, this Subhadirai lost his caste. That was, at that time, the practice. Anyone who had any contact with a Muslim, even water was sufficient to make anyone a Muslim. You lose your caste immediately. So Subhadirai was very much annoyed, and he went around to different pandits, and he was asking them, "Please, I want to become Hindu. I'm a Hindu by birth. I'm a Hindu. And now, unfortunately, I got that water. Now people consider me to be Muslim. I'm not a Muslim." Then pandits used to say, "Sorry, we cannot do anything. What you have to do is, you boil ghee. You drink that ghee, boiling ghee. You die. Next life, you take birth as a Hindu. You can take birth in a Hindu family. That is the only remedy. We cannot do anything." Well, Subhadirai was considering, what is this? At that time, he met,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
himself.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya, he had darshan of Lord Chaitanya, and he narrated his story to Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "That is not the way. You just simply, you go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna there. Your life will be perfect. You need not worry about anything else." So that newspaper, Hare Krishna Explosion, was also having that story. So some of the articles were okay, but some of the other articles were offending to the Muslim community, maybe. Because Hyderabad, of course, we used to distribute that fortnightly. It was sent to all the life members. So definitely, also there was a danger. It may also come to some of the Muslims. Anyway, this newspaper came in the hands of Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in Mayapur. And my Srila Prabhupada saw that, and he said, "Stop immediately! Don't distribute this publication. It will be very, it may be very dangerous for us." So we stopped the distribution of that. So in another occasion, regarding the same fortnightly, there was a children's page. Well, there are some stories from Krishna book in a simple language for the children, and some question answer for the children. And then there was also a puzzle, crossword for children also. Some simple questions, and then you can fill up the blank space and complete the crossword puzzle. When Prabhupada saw that, he did not agree. He said, "This is gambling. So gambling is forbidden. Don't do that. No crossword like that. No gambling."
Were there prizes given for the crossword puzzle? No? Pardon? Were there prizes given, or just because it was a crossword puzzle?
I don't remember. I don't remember if there is any award for the winners, any competition. But Prabhupada was not pleased to see that. He said, "This is gambling. Maybe too much speculation." Something like that. So that was stopped also. When Prabhupada was in Mayapur, at that time in Hyderabad, there was a traveling party by bullock cart. And this bullock cart, at that time, Gopeshwar Prabhu was there, Ananta Padmanabha, maybe Amir Vilas, they were also there, part of the traveling party. So they took the bullock cart, and from Hyderabad they went all the way to Mayapur. And when Prabhupada saw the bullock cart coming like that, he was very happy, very satisfied to see that preaching, village to village preaching, was done in that manner by way of bullock cart. But that was not the first one in India. Earlier, Akoyananda Swami also had come from Bombay to Hyderabad, and Lokanath Swami also, I think, had already started. But Prabhupada, that was the first time a bullock cart party comes to Mayapur from such a long distance, no more than maybe 1500 kilometers.